there. These things will happen. And we've got this tricky line here in verse 32, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, I didn't deal with that, and scholars disagree as to the meaning of what that is. Some people have wondered, does it mean the actual generation that he's speaking to at that time, that they won't pass away until they've seen these things? It's not a view that I've come to. Certainly, that generation saw a lot of those things happen. They saw, and that's what he might be meaning, that this generation will in fact see Jerusalem destroyed, which they did 35 years later, or so, whenever it was, 30, 40 years later. They also saw, for instance, the disciples get persecuted as apostles. So it could mean that. My own thinking is that it means this age of man, or the best way of putting it, will not pass away. There's no second chances. In other words, this is this world, and that's all there is till the next world comes. Does that make sense? So that's how I've read it, and that's how a lot of the commentators also read it. And that, in a sense, makes more sense to me, but it is tricky. But the certainty is there that these things will happen, and this generation will not pass away. They'll see it. Probably more, just as important, are the commands in verse 34 to 36. So what are the commands we see there? Be prepared to keep true to the word. Good. Be on guard. Watch and pray. So be on the lookout for Jesus' return. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do not get up in the morning and think Jesus might return today. And I need to be in that habit of thinking that Jesus might return today, because that gives a gravity to what you do to that day, doesn't it? And it means you're prepared. You clean up your life from sin. It means that you actually have a focus on what you do, so that you keep thinking what's important to get done today in terms of ministry, in terms of life. It gives proportion to what we're doing. What do we want to be found doing when he does return? Does that make sense? So by committing the day to the Lord, you're sort of saying, well, that was a worthwhile day. I would have been happy for you to return during that day. I'm not saying you don't go on holidays. I'm saying, you know, that all those things are good. It's a question of being that under God's lordship, being ready. What other commands are there that people have picked up? Do you notice how in verse 34, I quite like this balance here. It's on one hand, don't be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. So some people, as I said, want to eat up life, you know. I notice that particularly amongst some non-Christian people who don't have a hope of the future, when they think that this is all there is in life, they have the bucket list of things they want to get done in life before they die, and they sort of work hard to get that done. And there's a kind of freneticism about it. Do you understand what I mean by that? You know, and spending the kids' inheritance. On the other hand, it says, don't be weighed down by the anxieties of this life. So other people are so scared, they're sort of paralyzed. Oh dear, what's the world coming to? That they never actually get on with things, and they sort of, and they don't take risks for God. And so there's a warning that don't do either of those things. Rather, watch and pray, because we know it's coming. Be prepared, watch and pray. Well, how is the parable a comfort? How is the parable a comfort to people? Jesus knows. Yes, Jesus knows about them. And he's bigger than them all, isn't he? He's bigger than them all. In fact, he's behind them all. He's the last act. Yeah, good. He's with us, that's right, and he'll equip us and prepare us and give us what to say in difficult situations. And I'm sure you've been in the situation where you've said, I just don't know what we're going to say tomorrow, or some very difficult meeting or something, and you just say, well, God, you've got to give us some guide and lead. And he does guide and lead. But that's faith, isn't it, and trusting God to guide and lead. Otherwise, that the parables are comfort. Yes, he does communicate his great love to us so that we are prepared, exactly. We've got inside knowledge, haven't we? We're on the inside track. We know what's coming, so we're not surprised. No, that's right. We won't be harmed. We may die, like they did in Daniel. And I think, actually, one of the nice things for those of us who get older is I think we'll actually have a resurrected body that probably hasn't got grey hair or something, you know. Who knows? But you know, we'll be raised in new bodies, which is a great delight. And there is a world to come, you see. That's a comfort, isn't it? That this world is not all there is. There is a world to come. And it's a wonderful world. If you read Revelation, it's a wonderful world to come where there's no more sin, no more death, no more pain. So that is a great comfort when you are in the midst of pain or you're just overwhelmed by sin in a certain context you might be in. There is a world to come where there will be no more sin or pain. How else is the world? Is it the parable of comfort to people? Yeah, don't fear. God is near. That's right. And just as he was near each of those apostles in Acts and gave them the words to say as they faced emperors and governors. And God was near. I mean, sometimes, you know, Peter got out of jail in the most amazing way, but other times he was stayed in jail. You know, so sometimes God keeps someone in difficult times to be a witness there. Other times he completely releases them. And that's part of the trusting God, isn't it? That we just have to trust God that he will do right with his people. How is the parable a warning? The end will be terrible. Actually, that's right. The end will be terrible. For it is it's a terrible picture, actually. So we want to be on the right side of God. Yeah. Yeah, not to be complacent, exactly. Not to be complacent. Turn your back on Jesus and you've had it. Yes, there's great gravity in this. It's not, isn't it? There is great gravity. We're getting the climax of Luke's gospel here. There's great gravity. We're in serious business. Well, what do we need to do now to prepare? Yeah, I think that's true too. Pray that for ourselves and for others that they need to know God. I wrote the last little editorial for the BCA prayer notes, and in that I make the very point that if you're worried about our society, then the way what that should lead us to is to greater prayerfulness, that God would have mercy on our society and draw people to him. Yes, I'm a bit unsure about where your question is, though. I think what we see here is we see some fulfillments, exactly, like the... a number of fulfillments. The disciples go before governors, as the word goes out. Then you have the destruction of Jerusalem, and then the Lord's return too. So the way I look at it is that if you put yourself in the position of disciples with Jesus teaching, there are these hills in the future, and some of them are actually fulfilled before 70 AD, some are fulfilled at 70 AD, and some are yet to be fulfilled. That's the way I look at it. In our time now, well, who knows when Jesus will return? So, you know, I don't want to say that he's going to become this week or this year or something. I think what it tells us is that, I mean, these things are happening now, aren't they, around about us? So what it's urging us to be is very alert. I think that's the way I look at it. That's as far as I really want to say. It's an attitude, I think, that Jesus is asking for us now. Because I'm just conscious that if you've been in the Second World War, or if you've been in the trenches, all these things are there too. I think also what to put this together with the gospel going to all nations and all peoples. So that's one of the things we've been seeing as well in our last couple of centuries, particularly this last 100 years. So that's I wouldn't want to be, you know, befooled to say that God's going to be coming a certain time. No, it's being alert to things, being aware of their gravity, but being putting that in the bigger perspective. So I don't want to underestimate, say, death and the sorrow in death that many of us are carrying, or the pain that's in the world. Just the opposite, actually. In some ways, this actually gives it a gravity, but all that's in a bigger perspective. Yes, it's tricky, isn't it? Because there are a number of parables about fig trees, and fig tree can mean different things in different places, just like the vineyard. I don't think we need to have that interpretation here. I think that the thrust here is just about being ready, as you see the seasons change, and as summer's coming, as the time of toughness is coming. Might just bring our prayers to a close. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, we do believe that you've spoken to us through your word, and we pray that in the ensuing days and weeks and months, you'd continue to work in our hearts as we think about these parables that we've been studying today. Help us not to be slack. Help us not to be cozy and content. Help us not to be frightened. But rather, Lord, help us to be prepared, looking for the opportunities you give us each day. And we do pray that in your mercy you would use us to grow your kingdom, both in southern Tasmania and further beyond. For Christ's glory, in whose name we pray. Amen.